I shaved my badge for this. I shaved my badge.
Yes.
For this right now.
I shaved my badge for this.
I actually did shave my badge for this.
Welcome back, everyone, to I Shaved My Badge for This. I'm Katie Thompson, and I'm back with my badass gynecologist, Dr. Roxanne Pero. Roxanne.
Hi.
Hi. Today's part two of our fertility series. Mm-hmm. Super excited. For those that didn't listen to part one, we covered the basics.
Shave on you.
Shave on you. I cannot believe you did that. Now go sit in the corner and think about what you have not done. Shave.
Go listen to part one, then come back and listen to part two.
In part one, we talk about egg preservation, optimizing fertility over the course of your 20s and 30s. And now we're jumping headfirst into phase two. It has something to do with Beyonce and a lot to do with both you and your partner. Tell them, Roxanne.
That's right, Katie. We're talking
steps to take when planning for baby.
And this does have something to do with Queen Bee, because I've started using her as a great example. Yes, she's naturally talented. We all know that. But I don't think she would not prep for a world tour. Mm-hmm. Am I right? Of course, your body should naturally be able to get pregnant. But do you want to just get knocked up? Or do you want to do your best at getting knocked up? Mm-hmm. Well, then it takes some prep work. So this episode, we're talking about the prep work you need to do from both a female and male standpoint. Standpoint and when to check in with your doctor about trying for pregnancy concerns.
That's true, because it takes two. All right. And this has even more to do with Beyonce than people ever dreamed possible. Baby, baby, you stay on my mind, fulfill my fantasy. Come on, girl, tell me what's the deal. I think about it all the time. I see it in my dreams. Drop my boxes, put it in your girl, baby girl now. That was so awful. I'm sad. Okay, oh, listen, God. I'm not Queen Bee, clearly. Well, I'm obviously. Maybe Shonda Paula, but I'm not Queen. So for me personally, when I was ready and my husband and I were ready together, I dropped caffeine, Chardonnay, which was ultra depressing, those two especially. I downloaded all the apps and then in my best off-brand Queen Bee, I booked a trip to Italy.
Oh my God.
Because I was like, listen, if I'm going to go all out and have an ovulation spreadsheet, hang upside down after sex, and be sleepy and sober, best believe I'm going to paradise and I'm pouncing on my husband, who, by the way, was terrified the entire trip. So more of that ovulation schedule in the next episode. But first, let's jump in, because in all seriousness, there's a misconception that pregnancy planning falls into a natural progression of life. So infertility affects 15% of the population worldwide, according to WHO, and it involves both of us, both us and our partners. So what are the first steps we should take to set us up and our partner up to conceive when we're ready?
Well,
how
first
do you
of
even
all,
begin after that intro?
You aren't required to travel to Italy, but well played, Katie. I strongly encourage all patients to come in for a pregnancy planning powwow. I usually recommend you do this 3 to 6 months before you want to pull the goalie.
I love how you just casually say pull the goalie. It's like, I mean, it's true. We're trying to get to like Hope Solo levels, you know, like Olympic goalie where we're catching flying balls all angles and we're going for the balls like, hoop, there it is, hoop, there it is. So goalie, that's a great way to visualize what our role is.
At this visit, again, we invite your partner to come to the visit because, you know, it takes two. This will help you guys get insight into what we're talking about today, but specific to you. For instance, if you're on any medications or herbal supplements that may need to be discontinued, I usually encourage patients to discontinue them 3 months prior to conception or prior to discontinuing birth control, or consider changing that medication. For instance, spironolactone, which is a prescription medication that some women are on for treatment of acne or polycystic ovarian syndrome, that needs to be discontinued at least 3 months before you conceive. Some women are on high blood pressure medications that aren't safe if you were to conceive on them. So those need to be changed to safer medications. And you want to make sure you have time to know that that blood pressure medicine is controlling your blood pressure before you get pregnant. And same goes for the guys. they need to review their medications with your gynecologist, with your OB, and make sure there's no adjustments that need to be made or medications discontinued. For instance, finasteride, which is a prescription pill used to slow hair loss, has been shown to reduce sperm count. So I advise men discontinue this 3 months prior to actively trying for pregnancy. And there are certain herbal supplements that can cause pregnancy loss or impact ovulation. A good example is blue cohosh, which is used for menstrual cycle symptoms. It can increase your risk of miscarriage and birth defect risk. So I tell patients to bring every single thing that you are putting in your body and let, maybe not your sex toy, and let me review it.
We'll draw the line somewhere, but barely. No, that's really helpful because I think, you know, I would never think of an acne medication.
Right.
And men especially, it's like such a bummer if they're trying to slow down hair loss, but then also making a baby, you know, you got to choose one or the other.
Exactly.
So that's very helpful. So it's safe to say that anything that we're taking daily would be considered regular enough to be brought in to the pre-planning powwow.
Exactly.
So then how does birth control fit in?
Yeah. So huge question is, when should I discontinue my birth control? And a lot of misconception is that, quote unquote, it needs to get out of your system. And this is true for some, but not a lot or not even all contraceptive methods. For instance, I mean, if you miss a pill, you could get pregnant. So let's run through each type. In general, I encourage patients to discontinue hormonal birth control methods 3 months prior to wanting to conceive. So we can see what your menstrual cycle trend is, which can be a huge factor for not being able to conceive as soon as possible. So birth control options, natural family planning, or the rhythm method, those are great because those are actually going to help you to do some of the ovulation tests that we're about to talk about. Condoms or withdrawal, obviously pull the goalie for condoms, stop withdrawing. Oral contraceptive pills, or they're also called birth control pills. You want to discontinue those 3 months prior so we can see what your normal cycles are doing. The depot shot, which is the shot that's given in your arm or in your booty, you get it usually every 3 months. It can affect your ability to conceive as far out as 12 to 18 months, even after just getting one injection.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's huge to know. I rarely actually counsel patients about going on the depot shot if they are wanting future fertility. Same thing, Nexplanon, the implantable arm device, 3 months prior. The intrauterine devices, 3 months before you want to get pregnant. And you want to use condoms if you're not wanting to get pregnant at that time because those don't delay ovulation. So you have a very quick time to conception if you have no other barriers to getting pregnant. And then NuvaRing 3 months prior.
Nice.
Did I not say that enough times?
3 months, 3 months. You've got 3 months unless you got the shot in the ass. Come back in 2 years. Okay. So there are other things that kind of happen in that pre-planning powwow. So after we've kind of run through everything that we're taking on a daily basis, and we've also stopped birth control, at what point in time do we start doing the pre-planning family history screen?
That really I encourage patients to talk about at every annual visit, but especially at that preconception counseling appointment, which is 3 to 6 months before you guys really want to start trying. We talk about the family history for both you and your partner. There are some patients, because of their family history of spinal defects, that they need increased dosages of something called folic acid. In the first part of the fertility series, we discussed dioxin exposure, which may be linked to endometriosis. And people are exposed to dioxins primarily by eating animal products contaminated by these chemicals. So dioxins, more than 90% of human exposure is through food. So if you have a family history of endometriosis, yet have never experienced the symptoms of it, it could be very impactful for you to start considering lowering your animal product nutrition sooner than later. I also encourage patients to have what's called genetic carrier screening, which is a simple blood test that determines if you're a carrier of one or more genetic conditions that can impact your offspring. Most carriers of these disorders are healthy because the other copy of the gene works normally. But if you are making a baby with a partner that is also a carrier of this genetic disorder, you can have a 1 in 4 or sometimes even a 1 in 2 chance of having an affected child, depending on how it's passed on to the offspring. So examples of these are sickle cell anemia, Fragile X, cystic fibrosis. Cystic fibrosis is a life-limiting disease, for example. It affects the airways, pancreas, liver, intestines, and sweat glands. And the average lifespan is 45 years old. So it actually has a carrier frequency in Caucasians of 1 in 24 to 1 in 25.
Wow.
So, and a birth prevalence of 1 in 2,500. So if both the male and female partners are carriers, they'll have a 1 in 4 chance of having a child affected by this condition. So a lot of patients ask, well, why would I get that done? You know, know, what can I do about it if I have those results, if both me and my partner are both carriers for something like cystic fibrosis? Well, it at least gives you insight that you can continue to try naturally, because then you have a 3 in 4 chance of having a non-affected offspring. But you can also consider doing IVF with pre-implantation genetic testing, so that they're putting an unaffected embryo in the uterus, or using a sperm or egg donor, or even considering adoption.
I'm glad you brought this up, because we have a couple close friends that have been through the CF journey, and I think it's just a miracle how far modern science has come. They all have healthy babies now, and it was as a result of completing this type of testing ahead of time and then staying open to new technology just to aid them in their journey to deliver a healthy baby.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so let's say everything checks out. We're starting to phase off of birth control and lean into that natural cycle. Can we cover a few methods you would endorse for tracking your menstrual period?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a hugely important point is talking about your menstrual cycles. A lot of patients aren't already tracking their cycles. My favorite apps for tracking your cycles are the Ovia app and the Natural Cycles app. I asked what, if any, contraception you're currently on, what your menstrual cycles are currently doing if you're not on contraception, what your periods were doing before you were on birth control, and then determining if a normal menstrual cycle is present. So what's a normal menstrual cycle? A normal menstrual cycle is defined as occurring every 21 to 35 days, with the average being every 28 days. And to determine your cycle length, you start counting from the first day of heavy bleeding, not spotting, which I love that we use that word.
Spotting. Oh, just prevent the spotting, will you? Look for the heavy bleeding.
So spotting doesn't count. And spotting before your period more than a day may be a sign of something called luteal phase deficiency, which we'll be covering ovulation tests, something called anovulation, and that luteal phase deficiency in the next episode. But a regular period should be a cycle length of within 1 to 2 days from the last one. The days of flow should not be less than 3 days or more than 7 days, and it's concerning if you have heavy flow that persists past those first 2 to 3 days or have heavy cramping. And your menstrual flow calendar can give your doctor a lot of insight on whether or not they're concerned about your ability to ovulate regularly and therefore conceive.
There's so many apps out there, so mm-hmm. It's good to hear from
what
your
do you
perspective.
Use?
I love Clue. I think it's just the design language of it, so... I'm all about aesthetics, rarely about function. So, but it did help me understand my body and just my cycle. Before I signed up for the app, I didn't know that I kind of had some cycle oddities, if you will. So, all right. So once we understand how it flows, what ovulation tools and methods are most effective?
Ways to track ovulation. There's several, but you don't need to do them all, okay? Doing just one of these methods can reduce your time to conception. One, fertility apps. So you can use your apps that are tracking your cycles to track what's called your fertile window based on your cycle lengths. So normally, most people ovulate in that 14 days before your period starts. So when you ovulate, the egg only lives for about 24 hours at the most, but sperm can live for up to 5 days. Fuckers.
Damn it.
I know.
God.
So your app will give you a window of time, usually 6 days, with the last fertile day ending on the day after ovulation. And that way the sperm are already in there, ready to fertilize that egg.
Mm-hmm. Always waiting in the wings, aren't they?
So basal body temperature, also known as BBT. So progesterone is a hormone that rises after you ovulate, release that egg, and that causes your body temperature to rise. And this is something that you want to track before you actively start trying, because it's going to give you that window before your BBT rises, because once it rises, you have already ovulated. So you want to just see, when did you have rises in your BBT, so that for the upcoming cycles, you know around what time to have sex.
And there's tools out there that we can use to practice?
Okay. Yeah. Natural Cycles app offers a BBT thermometer to go with it. And then there's also the Ava bracelet. That's an easy temperature check for you.
Okay. Are there any other outside of tools and devices, things that we can do just on our own?
Mm-hmm.
To determine whether or not we're in that fertile window.
Yeah, you can. I don't know if you want to, but there's cervical mucus checks. Just place 2 fingers in the vagina, remove some mucus.
Wow.
And stretch out your fingers.
Wow.
Stretchy
egg
white.
I'm going to hold off on that. Do we need the description?
Stretchy egg white cervical mucus is type 4 and it's associated with the highest fertile day. So that's when you should be having sex. Sometimes it's just nice to see that because you, like if you're doing, I know for me, I mean, when I was going through infertility, I mean, I was doing all this shit.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, when you're getting positive ovulation tests, sometimes it's nice to have a visual. You know, it's like, oh, was the test right? And then you can see, okay, I got.
So this is kind of a secondary measure.
Yeah, I got mad cervical mucus.
Type 4, coming in hot. All right, so we know this is a two-part show. I would hate for us to neglect the male perspective and the things that we can hold potentially our male partners accountable for. So, because Lord knows we take it on. All right, so it'd be super helpful to know any approaches a male partner might consider to set himself up for success.
And thankfully, ladies, these are all things that we would want our partners to do anyway.
Yeah, so we can closely monitor all of their decisions, see if they're committed or not.
So boxers over briefs do not seem to impact the boys.
Okay. So it doesn't matter?
Nope, doesn't matter.
Ah, all right.
They can wear the tighties or...
What about free balling?
Moving on.
There's a percentage out there that might have that question.
You can ask your OB.
And we won't answer. Continue. What else?
So exercise, reducing body fat. Which woman doesn't love that?
Also helpful.
Yeah. And I mean, and studies too have shown that when you and your partner exercise together, that increases endorphins, which raises libido.
Yeah. So. All right. Let me guess, there's some dietary changes.
You guessed it. Alcohol reduction and elimination of high caffeine energy drinks, as well as recent evidence from both animal and human studies indicate that high fat diets result in impaired reproduction by affecting the structure of sperm, as well as the health of the developing fetus and subsequent offspring. So
what other lifestyle changes?
I don't know if it's an urban legend or not. Well, you know, can I get in a hot tub while I'm trying? And for men, no, you want to avoid electronics and heat on those balls.
What electronics are they putting on there?
They're computers. You know, guys like will sit on the couch with their computers and just do computer work, you know?
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
The exposure of testes to an increase of temperature can impair fertility through the alteration of sperm parameters. So that's the number, motility, and the morphology, which is the appearance, the shape of them, and damage the sperm's integrity.
Better get that lap desk ASAP.
ASAP.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Any supplements that they can take? I know we talk a lot about magnesium, zinc, vitamin D.
Yep. Supplements for men. You want to see if you can find some L-carnitine and acetyl L-carnitine. L-carnitine, 2,000 milligrams, and acetyl L-carnitine, 1,000 milligrams. It can improve sperm motility, reduce DNA fragmentation, and concentration. Really good data on reducing oxidative stress through antioxidant supplements like the L-carnitine and acetyl L-carnitine, but also your omega-3s. And vitamin D for men as well can improve fertility. So at least 1,000 international units of D3.
Okay, so we covered supplements for men. What about the ladies?
I, in general, encourage patients, both men and women, to be on a complete multivitamin. And if women want to go ahead and start an actual prenatal vitamin, either one, complete prenatal or just a women's multivitamin, both the male and the female want to be on it 3 months prior to trying for pregnancy. So the average woman who is having regular periods and hasn't been diagnosed with something like polycystic ovary syndrome or endometriosis, that's all they really need. I do encourage patients, though, if you're going to add a few supplements and you're overall healthy, vitamin D3, at least 1,000 international units, and an omega-3/fish oil supplement. Both of them are a win-win.
Okay, so this is very helpful. So we've talked through all of the things to kind of prepare you and your partner for as you are discussing and planning for baby. So we've got the pre-planning powwow that starts 3 months in advance, 3 to 6 months.
At least, yeah.
At that same time, we're stopping all birth control methods and kind of preparing our body at least 3 months in advance.
Yep.
We're doing that pre-planning family screen, family history screen.
Yep.
And then just making sure both partners are aware of what supplements are going to set their body up for success. And
you
then stop
it.
Putting the laptop on the balls.
Basically.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And just to let you know, I mean, from my pre-pregnancy counseling counseling appointments, I kind of gauge whether or not a patient wants any fertility lab work done. I definitely want to keep that on the table because some people are curious. Some people, just like me, I kind of just had a sensation that I was going to have difficulty getting pregnant. So just know that those things are available to you. I mean, if you want your husband's sperm checked before you guys start anything,
it's not personal.
It's not personal. And if you just want that reassurance, that peace of mind, then talk to your doctor about hormone testing, fertility blood work, those types of things.
All within arm's reach. And it requires both you and your partner to step it up. It doesn't just have to be you being the queen bee.
Exactly.
All right. Next episode, we're going to walk right into part 3 of fertility, where we're going to discuss what ovulation schedules might look like, what new tech is out there that can help you throughout that journey, and dietary changes that you can make to make sure that you're set up well to create life. Find us on Instagram at the SMV Podcast. We want to hear from you. And until then,
check out the Betty White picture.
That dad cap can be yours. If we get a certain amount of requests, I'm placing that order because it's comfy and it gets attention. All right. And what better stocking stuffer? Tis the season. Your dad will thank you later. Okay. He's going to laugh.
I love it.
I shake my badge for this.
The podcast series, I Shaved My Vag for This, and all associated online content is produced by Dr. Roxanne Perro and Kate Thompson in conjunction with ISMV LLC for entertainment, educational, and informational purposes only.
The opinions expressed herein are the personal views of Dr. Perro and her guests, do not represent the views or opinions of anyone else, and all facts and information presented are believed to be accurate at the time and should not be construed as specific medical, health, legal, financial, tax, or any other professional advice.